Welcome to a special Saturday edition of Toxic Relationship Rehab. We're going to talk about the Myers-Briggs test. We're going to cover the different personalities and how each one would manifest as a narcissist. So let's get started. The first thing to remember is that there is no one personality type that is always a narcissist.
Although, as we'll discover, there are certain types that might actually be more likely to be narcissists.
So we're going to cover each of the 16 personality types and what they might look like as a narcissist. And in this case, when we're saying narcissist, we're talking about someone who doesn't have much empathy and who exploits other people by nature. The Myers-Briggs test doesn't necessarily give you everything about a person,
but
it certainly does offer some insight into personalities. So one thing that
most people don't really consider is
the letter that comes after the personality type. For example, my personality type is ENFPA, right? And the A is a dash A, and what that means is assertive. And then there's also a dash T possibility, and that means turbulent.
Most people seem to think that
a larger percentage of narcissists might fall into the turbulent personality type.
However, according to 16personalities.com, that isn't really true. In fact, while assertive individuals are self-assured, even tempered, and less likely to be stressed out, assertive people have generally a more calm and balanced personality, and they're more likely to learn from their personal histories and not make the same mistakes again and again. But for assertive personalities who kind of turn toxic, you're looking at someone who might be overconfident. They might ignore their problems. They might sometimes assume or presume that others would accept or tolerate their behavior when that isn't appropriate. In other words, when they turn toxic, they might simply decide that the rules for them are different than they are for everyone else. And as you may know, that's a very common personality trait in a narcissist. Overconfidence can be toxic for anyone. They also do tend to have a stronger ego or a healthier ego than those who have the more turbulent identity. With that being said, people who have a turbulent identity have their own issues because they have a problem with the attention and attachment part of the whole thing. They always feel the need to do more, be more, have more, which can be good, but can also be toxic. They can be a little oversensitive, and with a narcissist, that is never a good thing. Usually results in them attacking their closest source of narcissistic supply, and they focus on what could go wrong and nitpicking as opposed to what could go right. But again, when they're toxic, that fear of stagnation can really look like they're bored all the time and they're counting on their primary source of supply to actually entertain them and keep things exciting for them. Otherwise, they're going to go elsewhere and you're going to end up pretty miserable.
It's important to remember that while, you know, personality types are what they are, there are just so many different factors that kind of play into what we become, right? And so some of those factors might be how we were raised and the ideas we were given growing up, and then whether or not we chose to challenge those ideas as we got older, for example.
We must also really consider the fact that since narcissists don't really seem to have a true identity, technically they might not even be honest on this test, and any personality type they do come up with might be false. And the truth is, narcissists don't really seem to have a whole lot of actual insight into their own false self. Rather, they tend to construct their false identity by kind of taking personality traits from people close to them, or people on television, or just people in the world. In other words, they're not able to self-reflect, and they tend to lie to themselves, as well as carry around a really false perception of who they are.
So we're going to just kind of cover how each personality type would look if this person didn't have empathy and was likely to exploit people if they were a toxic narcissist type.
INTJs and INTPs.
For the record, this page here is from 16personalities.com. Now, the architect, the INTJ, is imaginative and a strategic thinker with a plan for everything, when he or she is healthy, that is. And the logician, the INTP, tends to be an inventor, innovative, with an unquenchable thirst for knowledge.
So, INTJs and INTPs are likely to take their rational side to a fault. Take a look.
Many people would say that the INTJ and the INTP could fall into the category of cerebral narcissist because they will twist any situation that they've created to rationalize it without remorse. And also without remorse, they will tear down and dehumanize the other people in their lives. The logic tends to be so strong with these people that as narcissists, they would simply lack empathy, and that includes for victims of crimes or unfortunate circumstances. And of course, that means also the crimes that they themselves have committed. INTPs are also very concerned about how intelligent other people perceive them as being. And INTJs are pretty obsessed with always being right about everything. They love to say they correctly predicted some event or outcome of a situation. And as a side note, INTJs also may have been raised by narcissists, which would explain why they seem to develop an avoidant attachment style, but to also be the least likely to discuss their childhoods and make a big deal out of it. INFJs and INFPs.
The advocate, INFJ, quiet and mystical yet very inspiring and tireless idealists. The mediator, INFP, poetic, kind, altruistic people, always eager to help.
INFJs and INFPs would be abusing their power, would be doing things like on the sly and more. Take a look at this.
As narcissists, these types tend to be sort of covert narcissists. A lot of people would call them the wolf in a sheep's clothing. They tend to take their ability to be a perfectionist and their willingness to cut off relationships at the knees to the extreme by just ghosting people in their lives and over-criticizing them. Now, they do tend to be very charismatic, and while they could use this as a sort of platform to help support people in their lives, they often tend to use them to feed their egos and their grandiosity. Side note, in our poll that we did of the Spanily, which is full of survivors and not narcissists, the majority showed up as INFJs, followed by INFPs, and then ENFPs. But we'll get to that. Some people say that an INFJ might actually also be a good candidate to be a narcissist because they say the INFJ likes to know everything about you. They are quick to get excited about something and just as quick to let go of it. They can often be very damaged emotionally, and they definitely have trust issues. And one thing that a lot of INFJs will do is, especially when they are in narcissist form, they will let go of you or leave you before you leave them. Now, INFPs may also be prone to narcissism, but some experts say that they might be more likely to have BPD or schizotypal personality disorder than NPD. While INFJs are also considered the rarest personality type, they also represent the primary percentage of survivors as evidenced by that poll.
ENFJ. ENFJ, the protagonist, tends to be a charismatic and inspiring leader who is able to mesmerize their listeners.
ENFJs are naturally influencers. They are teachers, and I would say these people might look a little bit like a cult leader. Take a look.
ENFJs, as narcissists, they would sort of expect everyone to worship them, including their students or followers. They might also become very predatory, and in some cases, as narcissists, they may even become very rude with their followers and students, and they may be predatory as well as constantly cross boundaries with the people they educate or who follow them.
ENFP, the campaigner, enthusiastic, creative, and sociable, free spirits who can always find a reason to smile.
ENFPs, which I'm an ENFP, if an ENFP was a narcissist, they would probably be a little more on the covert side, and they would be always seeking validation from the people around them. Take a look at this.
Now, as a narcissist, an ENFP is going to be a little dangerous. They will be attention-seeking, but they will also be a little more vulnerable. And so they may use their relationships with other people to sort of mask their sense of shame that they feel deep into their core.
ESTJ and ENTJ. ESTJ is the executive. Excellent administrators, unsurpassed at managing things or people. ENTJ is the commander. Bold, imaginative, and strong-willed leaders, always finding a way or making one.
If you're talking about ESTJ or ENTJ, you would be looking at someone who is a natural leader, who is great with business, and who might be known for their directness. So take a look.
ENTJs and ESTJs. These types as narcissists tend to act like dictators. They are not only micromanagers, but they overpower the people in their lives and sort of overrun them. Very controlling. And it's not because they just feel like they want to be organized, but it's because they want to be superior to you, better than you. ENTJs are usually really great leaders, managers, and very efficient by nature. However, as narcissists, they tend to be tyrants and, like I said, dictators. ENTPs and ESTPs.
ENTP is the debater, smart and curious thinkers who cannot resist an intellectual challenge. ESTP is the entrepreneur. Smart, energetic, and very perceptive people who truly enjoy living on the edge.
They tend to be natural-born devil's advocate types. They always kind of want to take the other side and see, you know, let that play out. And I can imagine, in fact, I think I know one of these. In a narcissist, this would be a big problem. Take a look.
As a narcissist, this type tends to really beef up that devil's advocate thing. They exaggerate everything. They poke and prod people around them. They tear them down emotionally and mentally, and very often would be the type of person who would become a criminal attorney simply in order to get a rise out of people or to prove that they could convince an entire jury and a judge that a guilty person was in fact innocent. They might also, as narcissists, be very overcritical and incredibly abrasive, not to mention, as I said, emotionally abusive. And they often say things like, well, that's just how I am, deal with it. Or, what, do you want me to change and become someone I'm not? ENTPs also tend to have a big ego issue. They feel very creative. They want to believe that they are problem solvers. Of course, when this is a toxic issue, it's not so handy. Both ESTPs and ENTPs are not only typically very defensive, but they are also pretty good at manipulation, even though people don't realize that about them until it's already happened. They're very slick about it. ESFJs.
ESFJs are consul, extraordinarily caring, social, and popular people, always eager to help.
ESFJs most likely would trample all over your boundaries, and there would be a lot of enmeshment involved with this type. Take a look.
As a narcissist, an ESFJ would most definitely be the one that you saw in the enmeshed relationships, and of course, they are all about stepping all over everyone's boundaries. Now, when they're healthy, the ESFJ is a great person. They're empathic, they give too much sometimes, but when we're talking about a narcissist in that role, they would only be giving in order to get attention to be considered the altruistic one in the bunch. They definitely will give exactly as little as possible, you know, the very bare minimum that they can to someone, and of course, expect everything and then its brother in return. Everything and then some. ESFPs.
The entertainer. Spontaneous, energetic, and enthusiastic people. Life is never boring around them.
ESFPs tend to be the life of the party. They're the big socialites. And this is the type of narcissist who would be most likely to create a narcissistic harem. Take a look.
As a narcissist, an ESFP would have tons of fans. They would have adoring fans that follow them around and do everything they need, and they love attention on a very deep level. They need to be the center of attention, and at any time the spotlight comes their way, they will be holding on to it with everything they've got. They're very concerned about the way they look, so they may appear to be the more somatic type of narcissist and, you know, the type who's overly obsessed with looks and appearances. And they might also be a histrionic type of narcissist, the type who uses their looks and physical charms to get what they want from other people.
ISTJ, the logistician. Practical and fact-minded individuals whose reliability cannot be doubted.
ISTJs, as narcissists, would be most likely to give the silent treatment, to stonewall you, to shut you off and shut you down when you disagreed with them or when they just felt you weren't giving them the right source of supply or whatever. Take a look.
ISTJs, in general, tend to be extremely traditional in how they view things. As narcissists, they will use the fact that they're extremely traditional in the way they view things to sort of control other people. And they will, in fact, use moralistic thinking and accusations to control those people. And at the same time, while they're over there preaching all of the goodness and the awesomeness, they're also being hypocrites because behind closed doors, they're a whole other person. When it comes to work, they tend to land in careers that give them a certain amount of power. You might find a police officer, an attorney, or even a minister, anyone who could have control over others. This is just kind of so they can abuse their power and then get away with it. ISFP and ISTP. ISFP is the adventurer, flexible and charming artists, always ready to explore and experience something new. ISTP is the virtuoso, bold and practical experimenters, masters all kinds of tools.
ISFPs and ISTPs? Well, those are the types that would become very pessimistic. They would be the types that always complain about everything being terrible in the world around them. Here's a little more information for you. Take a look.
When it comes to ISFPs and ISTPs, when they're not narcissists, they're pretty amazing people. But when they are narcissists. They are just jerks. They're so rude and disrespectful. They will be the ones who will always be complaining about how unfair everything is in the whole wide world and how they're always the victims. They play the victim like a pro. They complain they never get their fair share. And in fact, they would do more work to hurt a person and take them down because that person has what they want than they would do to actually get what they want. It's a little ridiculous. And again, we're talking about when they are narcissists, not otherwise. ISFJ. The defender, very dedicated and warm protectors, always ready to defend their loved ones.
ISFJs, actually, this is interesting, when they are not narcissists, tend to be very generous and giving and loving. Well, when they are narcissists, they tend to be the altruistic type of narcissist, where they give, but there's always strings attached. Let's talk about it a little more. Take a look.
When it comes to ISFJs, they too are amazing people when they're not narcissists. But when they are narcissists, they're the shyest, most introverted people you've ever met. But under that covert exterior lies a sneaky, hidden thing that I'm going to call entitlement. They'll be the most entitled people you've ever met in your life. But from the outside, you'll think they're humble. Of course, from the very moment they meet you, they're going to be watching you like a hawk. They're going to take note of any and everything that they do for you, because at some point they are going to throw that back in your face, and they're going to remind you anytime they feel like they're not getting the attention or the appreciation that they want and think they deserve. In fact, you will often see an ISFJ narcissist display the most horrifying narcissistic rage episode that you've ever seen if you don't do what they want or they don't get what they want, even if it's not your fault. If you are their primary supply, you will be getting the hammer from this type of narcissist.
So what do you think about all of this? This brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, have you experienced a narcissist whose personality type you know, and does this match up to what you know? And if not, what are your thoughts about all of this? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comments section below, and let's talk about it. Now, before I go, I just want to remind you, if you are new around here or if you are looking for the next level in your recovery, please join me Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Central Time for Shine Buzz and Shine Buzz Live on Tuesdays and Thursdays, where we talk about things that are not so much about narcissists, but more about healing and feeling better and doing better for yourself in general. You won't regret it. And there's an amazing community around the live streams as well. So I hope to see you there. In the meantime, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. If you enjoyed this video today, make sure you hit the subscribe button and the bell notification so you'll be notified whenever I upload new videos, and so that we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.